Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 117 of Beyond the Supernatural. On today's page, sensitive psychic powers continue, but we are only two powers deep, and they are two rambling powers. Astral projection finally finishes on this page, and clairvoyance begins. It takes up the whole rest of this page, and will take up the entire length of the next page as well. We've discussed astral projection on the podcast before. We've discussed clairvoyance on the podcast before. How could we miss them? They're humongous. And you know what that means. Today, for the third day in a row, we will open the Z-Files, the archive of bizarre phenomena, paranormal threats, and sinister conspiracies pulled from the pages of Villains Unlimited, Palladium's supplement for the Heroes Unlimited RPG. Over the past 2 days, we've discussed the Masters of Speed, the band of paranormal criminals who travel the country in a disguised semi-truck, using their various preternatural speed abilities to rob banks, steal jewelry, and otherwise exercise their godlike powers to the best of their limited imaginations. Today we're discussing Klaus Müller. Quote, Klaus Müller grew up in an industrial town in northern Germany, the son of pitifully poor parents. His first love was ice skating, especially figure skating. As a teen, he showed great promise as an Olympic contender. The only thing holding him back from his dreams was poverty. Fortunately, perhaps for Klaus, he secured funding from a wealthy industrialist who supplied him with equipment, supplied him with training, and helped young Klaus to compete at such a level that he eventually, quote, won the national and world figure skating competitions and the right to represent Germany in the coming Winter Olympics. But it was then, at the height of his professional accomplishment in the cutthroat world of figure skating, that Klaus was struck down by his twin fatal flaws, his passionate love for the sport, and lightning. Quote, he returned home to visit his proud parents. He couldn't resist the temptation of skating at his favorite place, a pond adjacent to an old chemical factory. Sounds charming. Quote, he had skated there his entire childhood, and even on the verge of international stardom, it was still a special place. Klaus was making his final lap around the pond when it started to rain. Without warning, the skies opened up and he was struck by a bolt of lightning. The ice cracked and the icy water swallowed him. Some factory workers who had been watching rushed to his aid. He was submerged in the frigid, chemical-laden waters for several minutes. He wasn't expected to live, but by some miracle, he did. However, Klaus fell gravely ill after lightning struck the ice and he fell into the chemicals. When it rains, it pours, as they say. Although I guess that would be in bad taste to say to Klaus. Seeing as he got almost electrocuted, almost drowned, almost killed by illness, and horribly mutated in the same violent rainstorm. Maybe just retire rain from your figures of speech around Klaus. However, although Klaus eventually regained his health, his troubles were not over. He re-entered the figure skating world, unable to stay away from the game, and he did quite well. Too well. Quote, he came back on the ice for a brief encore and went into a spin. Halfway through it, he began to feel a strange sensation of accelerated speed. Suddenly, Klaus lost control and went, literally, flying into the crowd, injuring 8 spectators. The crowd ran in panic and stared at him as if he were some kind of monster, end quote. And no wonder. In professional wrestling, sure, but in figure skating? They don't even have the Phoenix Splash. In figure skating, these spectators were not ready. I guess you guys aren't ready for that yet, Klaus might have been heard to say to the scrambling figure skating spectators. But your kids are gonna love it. Now, for a person with only a moderate, a rational attachment to figure skating, this strange accident might have been the end of the story. Klaus might have returned to something like a normal life, always cognizant, certainly, like a half-assed David Banner, that he must never allow the intensity of his figure skating to grow out of hand, or innocence could be harmed, but otherwise leading a perfectly normal existence. But Klaus Müller is not such a man. Klaus Müller believes in figure skating, and so, quote, after 2 similar incidents, rumors began to circulate that Klaus was one of those mutant freaks that had weird powers. And listen, I'm not one to take the bigot side. But allow me to take the bigot side in this instance. When someone has finished not one, but 3 figure skating competitions by flying uncontrollably into the crowd, questions may be asked. Concerns may be raised. After 1 strange incident, let us not jump to conclusions. But after 3, listen, bigotry or not, this mutie stinks. This mutie stinks on ice. If we take the text at its word, that these incidents were all similar and that the first injured 8 people, we now have 24 injuries in the crowd at figure skating events. sanctions are appropriate. And apparently, sanctions ensued, because Klaus moved to live with his cousin in the United States. Sadly, after a while, Klaus, quote, realized that his lack of skills would never allow him to get any meaningful work, because he had devoted his very life to figure skating. With no other options, Klaus decided, having no skills but spinning, I will perhaps diversify into spinning in a non-ice capacity and see where that gets me. Alas, not far. Quote, his plan was to master the strange ability, create some tricks, and become a circus performer. He tried to get an agent, but nobody would touch a mutant. He tried doing street acts, but the minute he started to really cut loose with his power, people would become frightened and run away. It was during one of these street performances that he was approached by two well-dressed gentlemen who wanted to see what he could really do. Klaus gave the performance of his life. The two men were satisfied, took him out to a lavish dinner, and offered him a position with the Masters of Speed. Soon, Klaus was talked into a life of crime and took on the codename Whirligig. There are a number of interesting details about Klaus. He has a top speed of 340 miles per hour. He has the spin at extraordinary speed superpower, which is a strange but useful and interesting ability. For a person who supposedly had no skills and therefore had no choice but to turn to essentially busking as a professional twirler, it's peculiar that Klaus has the electrical engineer, surveillance systems, computer repair, mechanical engineer, locksmith, and automotive repair skills all at very high levels, and has not inconsiderable proficiency in robot mechanics and electronics. Nowadays, in the United States, if I were to find a master electrical engineer twirling in the street for money, I would perhaps take it as an indictment of the economy. But in the early 90s, this tale of woe is an indictment of no one but Klaus himself. Klaus simply loves figure skating too much. It is the source of all his trouble. It is the source of his power, the source of his struggle. Klaus just wants to spin. And in fact, it's this that gives him, like all of the Masters of Speed, a certain kinship to the paranormal investigators of Beyond the Supernatural. As we discussed in Season 2, spinning at extraordinary speed is an extremely strange and specific ability to be given by chemicals or an alien beam or whatever. But in Klaus's case, I think that it is psychological in origin. Like the Firewalker, like the Ghost Hunter, like the Psy Mechanic from Beyond the Supernatural, the form of Klaus's exceptional abilities, I believe, arises from his deepest psychological drives. The drive to spin, the drive to twirl. The drive to twirl. We see it throughout Klaus's life. From the time he was a child, he wanted nothing but to figure skate. Poverty was no barrier. He was taken under the wing of a wealthy industrialist who, incidentally, was not foreshadowed in Klaus's story and never appeared again after helping him, nor did the poverty ever come to anything. A very odd and mysterious detail in Klaus's history, and a suspicious one. An industrialist, you say? In what industry? Perhaps in the chemical industry? The chemical industry within which operated the chemical plant, adjoining the frozen pond, adjoining the squalid shack where Klaus grew up? Food for thought. A potential conspiracy? A potential alien visitor? A potential supernatural being? Some sort of demonic figure or genie using the medium or perhaps only the appearance of modern chemical science to grant Klaus his own destructive wish to twirl, monkey paw style. Just a possibility. But in any case, demon or no, truly it is Klaus's insistence upon spinning and doing nothing but spinning that drives him to ruin and eventually to crime. I respect passion, but truly, in the aftermath of winning a world championship and on the brink of competing in the Olympics, to ice skate on a pond over a chemical cesspool in a lightning storm. Damn it, Klaus, can you not wait one day to ice skate? Between winning the figure skating world championship and competing in figure skating in the Olympics, can you not take one day off? Can you not take one afternoon off of ice skating? But no, he couldn't. And so, flash, crash, splash, chemicals, mutant fucking twirling. Klaus's own fault. And yet, a highly relatable one. This is why Beyond the Supernatural player characters are so weird. They can't give up on their strange obsessions. Deep in the recesses of their mind, there is the one thing they want and all their powers point toward it. And so now Klaus's obsession becomes self-fulfilling. Perhaps he has the physical paranormal potential to move at great speed in a variety of ways, but his mind will only let him twirl at great speed. He must twirl. He tries everything, performing in the circus, performing on the street. And that's all. Those are the only options. Professional sport twirling? Professional entertainment twirling, amateur entertainment twirling. Klaus is fortunate that the Masters of Speed found him and introduced him to criminal twirling before he ended up twirling his bare German ass around a stripper pole somewhere. Not because stripping is bad, but because that isn't Klaus's dream. He doesn't want to strip. He wants to twirl. but if he had to strip to twirl, he'd do it. That's the tragedy. Nothing against sex workers, unless they gave up on their dreams of figure skating, in which case I'm disappointed in them. Klaus is probably the hardest character to actually work into a Beyond the Supernatural campaign that I'm going to discuss in this Masters of Speed coverage, which is ending tomorrow. But I did think he was worth mentioning. He would require modification, but I think there's some really interesting stuff in this. The backstory is just too bizarre to throw away. The strange details, his anonymous industrialist patron that buys him ice skating equipment when he's a boy and then never shows up in the story again. The fact that he lives in a tiny shack next to a pond next to a chemical plant. The freak thunderstorm that plunges him into chemical waters and gives him the power to spin, of all things. The fact that Klaus is surrounded by figure skating scandal, I feel, is somehow very beyond the supernatural. It feels like the investigation portion of a Trenchcoat Horror TV show, where the investigators would meet some suspicious but seemingly unassuming person, look into their past, and see, oh, this person was banned from figure skating competition. If you find out that a person was banned from figure skating, thereby hangs a tale 100% of the time. And in this case, a weird one, flying into the crowd. 2 dozen people were injured by this motherfucker flying off like a sky dancer into the crowd. And so he's a disgraced figure skater who still just longs to do what he loves, which is relatable, but tragic, kind of dangerous. The power itself is so silly that I would only use Whirligig in the campiest of Beyond the Supernatural adventures. This would be one of the monsters of the week with the very goofy CGI who we never talk about again. One can almost imagine the mid-90s computer graphics of a villain of the week who spins really fast. But there is a place for that, and the character could be toned down. For Beyond the Supernatural, if one really wanted to use Klaus in a more serious way, I suppose that one could turn him into a physical psychic who initially seems only to be an exceptional athlete, and then only gradually does it become clear that his fixation on figure skating has kind of diverted his PPE into exceptional but very narrow physical psychic powers. Because he's had these accidents, and because there is this very weird, suspicious backstory with the industrialist and the plant and the chemical-laden waters and the lightning, I would probably make him a latent psychic who literally fell into some sort of strange and horrible supernatural situation underneath those waters, and the traumatic exposure to that supernatural element triggered his psychic powers, but triggered them in such a way that he denies what he saw and has taken refuge in intense dedication to his love of figure skating. That's very beyond the supernatural, to my understanding of it, and it opens the possibility of investigators who apprehend Klaus being directed back to the chemical plant and the poisoned pond and whatever's under the ice. So there's a plot hook there as well. Could the plant be a holding of Cosmet? Could there be a greater conspiracy here? Could the aliens responsible for the blur be involved? Could Cheetah's supposedly chance meeting with another Kansas City super speedster criminal at the same bank be not a coincidence after all, but the result of subtle manipulators? Intriguing possibilities, none of which matter to Klaus. Motherfucker just wants to spin. Join me tomorrow as our coverage of The Masters of Speed concludes on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top-secret Patreon-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that RSS feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Zambia. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. The theme for the Z Files, used under a Creative Commons license, is Lightless Dawn by Kevin MacLeod, whose work you can find at filmmusic.io. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.